The word today is overjoyed. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. It's fun to watch a child who is so filled with joy that they squeal with delight or dance about. As we get older, we tend to mute our emotions. However, Jesus' apostles, full-grown men, were overjoyed when they saw him raised from the dead. God wishes for all people to have that feeling of being overjoyed through Jesus. Here to share more about this encouraging topic is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Overjoyed.
Today we're going to talk about a part of the Bible that I just love, and it comes from the Gospel of John in chapter 20. This is one of my favorite passages about the resurrection of Jesus for several reasons. I'm going to share some of them with you today. In John 20, starting at verse 19, what we have is Jesus appearing to the apostles on the resurrection day. And it says in verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." It mentions that the apostles were overjoyed when they saw Jesus. There's many things in this world that give us great joy. There's times when we have been overjoyed. The birth of our child, maybe a graduation and a huge life accomplishment, or starting a new job, which means better income, maybe health benefits, things to really enhance ours and our family's lives. Could be marriage. One of the greatest days of our life might be the day that we made our vows before the Lord's altar. There's many causes of joy, but there's very few days that we are overjoyed. I remember how kids react when they've received a gift that exceeds their expectations. They may run around and shriek and just smile and laugh and giggle at the joy that they have. They are overjoyed. They're filled with this excessive celebratory attitude. Well, that's what the apostles had. Trust me, overjoyed when they saw Jesus coming back. Can you imagine the emotional shift that took place in the minds of those guys? They were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. So their hearts and minds were filled with terror, foreboding, anxiety. And all of a sudden, in an instant, Jesus changes everything. And all of a sudden, all of those emotions are replaced with celebration, with fascination, with happiness and assurance, and just such a fantastic change in just a single moment. I think about this in connection with the return of Christ. The Bible tells us that he will come back in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. And all of the worries, the burdens, the fears, the problems, the concerns, the sorrows, the pain, the guilt, the struggle with sin, all of this stuff that we've had to wrestle with is going to evaporate. It's going to be gone in a moment, in a flash. It's just going to change. And we'll have this fantastic future with God. Just like the apostles, where it's going to be overjoyed at seeing the Lord Jesus returned. Well, there's definite implications to Jesus physically being raised from the dead, and the apostles knew that. They could tell in just a moment now their whole future was changed. Instead of having their great religious leader and their prophet and their teacher who had been good now was taken away, he's back. It continues, and it's going to be even better because he's demonstrated that he can defeat death. Well, you know, the one person who was skeptical was Thomas. Thomas is like so many individuals today that struggle with things that they can't fully understand. I want to warn you about something. There is a tendency in the skeptical heart and mind of individuals who, frankly, think they're really intelligent. They think they're smart, and they struggle with the idea of the resurrection because they can't fully comprehend it. They can't understand it. They can't explain how could a person come back from the dead. I don't know. And it's just like Thomas, who was struggling with this. He didn't understand it, so he wasn't going to believe it. You have to watch out for your sin-tainted intellect. Your brain can try to convince you that you are infallible, that you have the ultimate authority to judge what is real and what is not. That's dangerous, because God can do things that are beyond our intellect. And the sinful heart can struggle to believe the report that has been given. So we have to watch our pride and ego, because it's tainted by sin. We're called to trust and believe, and that's why these eyewitness reports were written, so that we could have confidence in what was said, in what was seen by these guys. And you notice how the second that these guys see Jesus back from the dead, it's like their spirit is inflated again. It had been deflated. They had had sorrow and fear and things that just make us have no vibrancy, no hope, no push. And all of a sudden, they were filled with that Easter breath of fresh air once again, which leads us to a couple of the things. One, the New Testament has a doctrine, a teaching regarding God about the Trinity. God is three persons in one God, and this is a very important thing for you to understand. It also goes beyond our intellect. So people that worship their own intelligence and pride often struggle with this teaching. But it's much like a little child who doesn't fully comprehend their parents' minds, so also we don't fully comprehend God's mind. But we are called to believe in this teaching. Three persons in one God. Here in this text is demonstration of it. We have Jesus standing before the apostles. He references God the Father who sent him, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, how do we know that that's a person of God? Because of the qualifier, holy. The Holy Spirit is a person. If he had just said, "Have some spirit," well, that's different. But the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity, and it's rare that you see all three persons of the Trinity together. It takes a very, very special event. The baptism of Jesus, we saw this. The creation of the world in Genesis chapter 1 and in John chapter 1, you put those together and you see all three persons of the Trinity again. So enjoy looking at the Bible and seeing the three persons of God as they work. I have come to say nowadays that it takes a team to do the things that God does. It takes a team in order for Jesus to ascend and then send another person, the Holy Spirit, in order to lead his church. It takes a team to have one person of the Trinity die on the cross and the others raise him up again. God, as three persons, does things that no other entity could do. And so it's wonderful and appropriate that you learn and that you appreciate and praise God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as he's presented in the New Testament. Now, as we see Jesus, he breathes on the apostles. Well, what's happening here is not that Jesus just has Easter breath, you know, what I might call necrotic halitosis or death breath, you know. No, he's intentionally issuing forth the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God the Father had sent him on this mission to redeem us from our sins. Now, Jesus tells him, he is sending the believers on a mission. And this is important that you understand this. This was not just for those men that day. This is for all followers of Jesus, that we are to be filled by the Spirit of God. This is why baptism is important. This is why laying on of hands is important. This is why prayer in the Spirit is important, so that you can have the Holy Spirit, so that you can have the filling of God in order to be sent on a mission to win others to Christ, to teach them, to convince them, to lead them to see, to show acts of love and self-sacrifice that demonstrate the divine love of God, just as Jesus demonstrated his divine love for us. And notice that the only persons who have the authorization of forgiveness are Christians. The world does not have God's forgiveness. The Christian has the power of forgiveness in the name of Jesus. You can see why this is such a favorite passage of mine. It touches on so many things. First and foremost, the resurrection of Jesus and his divinity. The Trinity, the three persons of God. The peace of the Lord Jesus, which makes so much more impact when you realize he's raised from the dead, kind of peace that the world can't give you. And then the issuing forth of the Holy Spirit so that we have empowerment to speak and to forgive sins in Jesus' name. I hope that you're able to get a Bible or to listen to it and to go to John 20 and start to appreciate so much that is in these about four or five verses. It's fantastic. It's the resurrection of Jesus, the power of God for salvation, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can share with others the forgiveness we have received in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.